And without that, it just kind of all gets, you know, meshed together. But the dynamics are pretty interesting when you're working with a spouse.
I was going to say, you have to have a pretty strong relationship in order to be able to have that work-life balance, I guess, if you're working together all the time and, you know, you live together, obviously. Yeah. You know, to be able to balance those two things is a real kind of a real challenge, but also one that you seem to have embraced and worked through. I mean, we mentioned before about your background is in medicine. You trained in the medical profession. Then you chose to leave that behind, Omar. I mean, that's such a big step to take. How supportive were the rest of your friends and family when you took the decision to do that?
Oh man, I left most of that behind. You see, I have a very small family. I don't have a lot of people that I would, you know, see on holidays and stuff. My parents are Cuban immigrants, so it was really just me and my older brother, and we're not very close. So when I left medicine, it was a shocker to my parents because I was the first in our entire family history to ever graduate college, let alone go to medical school. So that was a very big source of pride for them. And then all of a sudden they kind of looked at it like, oh my God, you know, our son, what's he doing? But nobody was counterproductive or went against my decision. What I did find, though, is as far as friends, a lot of them I had to leave behind because it's funny when you're not doing well, at least it's been the case in my life. Nobody was trying to give me financial advice or help or anything like that when I wasn't doing well. But when I started making money, it seems like everybody had some advice as to how I should be spending it or their idea of how I should do it. And a lot of people ask me like, well, you know, did you change when you started making money or when you started building a business and becoming successful or what happened to your friends and so on and so forth? And it's funny because my success and my money, I don't think changed me. I think it changed the people around me when it comes to my friends. And I really just became immersed in the new relationships that I was creating with our online business and the people that are, you know, friendships like with people like John Thornhill, who you brought up. You know, I think a lot of the friendships and the people that I knew in the past were kind of holding me back and kind of negative influences in a way. Now, I have some lifelong friendships from the medical profession and some stuff like that. But, you know, I think that I just made a whole new set of friends and a whole new set of colleagues that are totally, totally different because in the medical field, particularly in EMS where I was in, we create this wall, we create this persona to deal with the types of things that we're seeing every single day. And generally, we are bitter people. It's just this kind of persona and personality you create to help you cope with the constant trauma, the constant loss, the constant, you know, terrible stuff. That if you don't do something to protect yourself, if you don't build that wall and become that cold person, you take everything to heart. Everything hurts you. You become and you can't perform the way that you need to. But the friends that I met online are in the business world and people like John Thornhill, and it's just totally different. It's a totally different type of comparing internet marketers with, you know, paramedics, EMTs, and first responders. It's a completely different type of person.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like one of those episodes of Scrubs, you know, the TV show, where you've got the cynical old medics, and then you've got the newbies coming through who are all enthusiastic. I guess it doesn't take too long before actually you slip into that kind of negative kind of role, as you say, just as a coping mechanism. Because if you're facing kind of, I guess, death around you and so on, it's one of those just coping mechanisms that will kick in. I mean, you've done so much, Omar, as well. It's difficult for me to try and encapsulate exactly what you've done in your career. You've done so many six-figure launches now. I was wondering, maybe you could just perhaps tell us a little bit about the launches that you've done and how you've gone about that, and maybe some tips for people that are thinking of doing the same themselves.
Yeah, for Melinda and I, you know, it was about figuring out how to sell digital information products online so that we wouldn't have to do the whole shipping thing and physical items. And so anything and everything that we could automate, simplify, you know, digitize was of interest in the beginning. And a lot of what we wanted to do, the tools for it just didn't exist. I mean, when I started doing this, we were still on dial-up internet. You know, I see newbies complaining now about, oh my God, it's so hard to make money. Like, you know, you can watch sales video. If I wanted to watch a sales video when I started, I had to leave it downloading overnight so that I could see it in the morning and play it, you know. So the challenges were totally different than we had to deal with. You know, nowadays you have drag and drop page builders. That didn't exist. You know, you had to do HTML and you had to build your own website and things like that. So back then when we started, it was all about trying to create tools and systems and processes that could simplify and just make the whole digital marketing process easier. So we started by creating our own digital products, and then eventually we found that as we got good at creating and launching our own digital products, the reason that we got good is because we started creating our own tools, our own plugins, our own things, just so that we could operate as a company and we could do things better. And what ended up happening is those very tools that we were creating for our own business, our own launches, ended up becoming products that we would launch as well. So we started creating a pretty diverse product portfolio, and we teamed up with a group of people that we call the Affiliate Jedi. At the time, it was just, you know, it started ourselves, Dave Nicholson, John Thornhill, Michael Chain. It was just basically a group of seven of us, and we would collaborate on Voxer and on Skype, and we would have these calls, and we'd talk about what we were building and what we were doing, and we'd support one another's product launches, and we almost sometimes lined them up, you know, where we would say, okay, well, you're doing this now. Okay, well, that's going to go great for what I'm going to launch next. And I don't see enough of that happening nowadays in internet marketing, where people are forming alliances and they're building their businesses together and they're growing in these. It's so much easier when you support each other and you're holding each other accountable and creating products together. You can really build a community of people behind you, and you know, instead of having to go it alone. And I think that would probably be a good tip for people that are starting out is, you know, yeah, I can. At the end of the day, we could talk about whether you should be using WordPress or you should be using that or you should be using this, you know. Sure. But at the end of the day, what really, really makes a difference is you. It's the choices you're making and the actions that you're taking every day, not the tools that you're using. Because, you know, if we did $1.7 million last year using, I don't know, we use WordPress and OptimizePress as our technical way where we build our sites. But then if you said, well, if you were using ClickFunnels or this, would you have made more? Would you have? No, we would, because it doesn't come down to the tool. It comes down to the operator. You know, it comes down to who's using it and what you're doing. And I think that the part that a lot of people miss is the relationship building, the strategizing. That kind of thing is much more responsible for your success than whether or not you're using this particular tool or that particular gizmo or what have you.
No, I mean, it's really good advice as well. As you say, build that network of connections. If anything, just to keep you accountable. I think that's a really key piece of advice. And also, as you say, Omar, almost get out of your own way. Don't kind of focus on the, you know, the minutia of, should I be on WordPress? Should I be on ClickFunnels or Kartra or GrooveFunnels or whatever it might be, what the latest thing is? Just make a decision and carry on moving forward, because that's the only way you are going to be able to achieve what you've set out to do. So some real key learning points there, I think. If you were starting out now, though, what do you think you would do differently?
I would do a lot of things differently now, because it's a different internet now. It's a different internet now than when we started this interview. Let alone when I started my career. You know, look, you've chosen to do business and build a career in the most rapidly advancing platform industry in the history of mankind. The internet has created a communication boom that makes the printing press and the Industrial Revolution pale by comparison. And because of that, it is constantly changing, constantly changing. So it is a very rapidly changing environment that you're building your business in. And when I started, it was different because we didn't have the social media and the challenges that are going through today. Like right now, at the time that we're recording this interview, there's all these things happening with social media, blocking people, canceling accounts, and they're having a really hard time. Back then, there was Facebook. It did exist, but it wasn't at all what it is today. You know, back then, if I wanted to meet other internet marketers, I had to get on a plane, travel to an event, stand in front of them, hand them a business card, shake their hand. Now, you just go find them on Facebook and send them a message, or you go tweet them. You know, it wasn't like that. And even though Facebook existed, it didn't even have a search bar. There were no, you know, it was completely different. So you're building a business today in a different environment than I built mine. And I think what I would focus on today would be creating content right from the beginning, like just tons and tons of valuable, unconditional content. I would give it to people with no condition that you have to sign up, that I would start building a tribe by providing unconditional value first. I would focus on assembling an audience, containing it in a digital stadium, creating that barrel of fish that I'm going to shoot my offers into later. I think that a lot of people rush to create products. They rush to build a list. And don't get me wrong, building a list and creating products are very, very important. But a list is a byproduct of having a business. It's a byproduct of having an audience. It doesn't happen the other way around. You don't get a business because you build a list. You know, you get a list because you built a business. So if you focus on creating value and then injecting that value into an audience, inevitably you're going to have a list of customers as a result. The list is the byproduct. And I think that's what I would do now. I think one of the other things that I would focus on is, as quickly as possible, focus on processes that create recurring income, instead of focusing on launching and throwing yourself into this perpetual feast or famine cycle, which is what happened to me in the beginning. It took me 18 months to figure out how to create and launch a product profitably. But you know, a lot of people don't realize, they see your successes. We did Internet Selling for Newbies in 2009. We did $500,000 in sales. We generated $30,000 monthly recurring income as a result. But before that, my first 5 product launches, they made me nothing. As a matter of fact, I went backwards. My first launch, I made 0 sales. Other than my own test sale, there was no sales made. So a lot of people, they see the big success and stuff, but they don't realize the things that you have to go through in order to get there. And today, I would say, focus on building that audience, focus and do that by providing unconditional value first, and then focus on creating recurring revenue products. The gym membership model, where you're selling a username and password, just like in a gym, they sell you the key card to get in and access the material that's in there, access the equipment. You know, if you follow that kind of mentality, you're going to create something that's hugely, hugely important for the survival of your business within the first year. And that's called capital. Most businesses fail because of lack of capital. It's not lack of ideas. Yeah. It's not lack of traffic. It's lack of capital. You don't have the finances to keep you going while you learn. But the quicker you get into creating recurring revenue, the quicker you're going to be able to alleviate that problem of working capital. So those are the things that I would focus on right now if I had to start again.
Got you. And one of the things, just to pick up on one of the points that you mentioned, is that when you did your first few launches, in some cases, you say you went backwards. Why was that, do you think? What was the reasoning behind, you know, you losing money effectively on those launches?
I was trying to mimic what I was seeing other people doing without understanding what went into it. So, for example, the one that I lost money on, I think it was my first launch, I didn't understand that you needed affiliates. I thought, you know, Field of Dreams, you build it, they're going to come, right? Well, nobody came other than my wife and a couple of people that knew I was doing a launch that day because they were my family members. Nobody came to the site, right? So The next one, I created it, but then I realized, okay, well, I have to have affiliates. And I started recruiting affiliates, and I said, well, I got to give something away. I got to give away a prize. But I had no idea how that worked, so I said, I'm going to give away a big, expensive camera. I didn't make enough money to justify giving away the camera. I went backwards. I lost money and time in creating the product. I launched the product, and then I made less money in sales than I did that I had to pay out in prizes for these affiliates. So I got that squared away, and by my third one, and what I realized by my third one is, well, I have to have affiliates. I have to have appropriate prizes. I have to be able to make sure that I'm not giving away the farm with these prizes, but I need a lot of affiliates to make this work. So my mistake on the third one was I started approving anybody and everybody. I didn't have any requirements for affiliates. And what I had is I opened the doors to myself for fraud. So I had fraudulent affiliates creating accounts to kind of launder money through my product launch, and to the tune of $20,000+. I mean, I thought third launch, oh my God, look, I've hit it big. And I almost lost my PayPal account because, you know, so again, I went through all these things that I had to learn and I had to overcome the hard way. And sometimes now I teach people and I say, hey, look, this is what you should do. This is what you should expect. And they don't listen. And then they get jammed up because I'm like, hey, look, man, I'm telling you, I went through this. You know, we went belly up for the first five launches. And it wasn't until that sixth one where all of these things that I'd learned in the prior five, you know, came together and I did it right. And we had our first six-figure launch. That was internet selling for newbies. At that point, I had made enough mistakes trying to sell online that I'd figured out a recipe for doing it properly, and we launched that product. That product did, I believe, somewhere around $450,000 in sales. After it was all said and done, affiliates paid, prizes paid, Melinda and I were able to put $180,000 into the bank for us to keep. Now, that to a lot of people might not sound like a lot of money, but I can tell you it was more money than I had ever saved in my entire life. It was more money than both Melinda and I together had ever had in the bank or individually had ever had in the bank. And even working my high paying fire department job, you know, so it was, and that wasn't even the best part of it. The best part of it was that as a bump offer, we created a recurring membership product, and we charged $39, and we were able to put 1,300 people into a $39 per month product. So now you can do the math of how much money we're rebilling every month. So even after paying the affiliates on that recurring product, we were banking $30,000 a month. So again, it took me, I didn't give up on launch number two or launch number three, even with that fraud and almost, or launch number four or the other problems that I'm not even going to get into that I had to go through that learning curve. You know what I mean? But because we didn't, we were able to pull off launch number six. Today, a lot of people come online, they buy this coaching product, they watch this free video, they download that plugin, and boom, they're screaming and yelling why they're not making millions within a month, or at least $100,000 or at least $10,000. And that's just, they just create these false expectations. And I don't know, it's not always their fault. They read these deceptive claims on these pages and they think, well, this is going to be easy. It's the internet after all. So I'm just going to put in a couple of hours and I'm going to get rich. And that's not the case. You know, anything and everything of value is going to take a significant investment of time and money. But you know, you can't give up on it just because you have some pitfalls, you know, and there's not going to be no shortage of them. The internet is constantly changing. The things that you learn today on a particular platform, on a particular process, they might be different a month from now, 2 months from now. The person who wins at this game is the one that is most open to change and most willing to adapt to the change of things. If you're not willing to adapt, if you have a hard time with new things, you're going to have a really hard time building a business on the internet because it's constantly changing.
Yeah, I mean, and kudos to you for keeping on going as well, because I think a lot of people, you know, by the time you get to launch number five and you're still kind of encountering issues, you may kind of start to think, you know, how long is this going to take? And as you say, you got the breakthrough at launch number six. So, I mean, that must have been a proud moment for both you and Melinda at that time. What's next for you, though, Omar? What are you working on right now? And what can we look forward to coming from you and Melinda in the near future?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, this past year with, you know, at the time that we did this interview, The world has changed. The world has changed after COVID, and there's been a lot of pivoting that a lot of businesses have done. Online, for us in particular, selling digital information products and tools to help people's online businesses, we've actually done better because at this time in history, more people are turning to the internet to consume information, to learn how to digitize their own passion, their own way of making money. And here we are with the skills and the tools that can empower them to do that. So we actually did well. But what I realize is that making it easier and faster for people to consume that information, to find that information and consume that information, we started doing a lot of workshops, one-day workshops where somebody can come and sit down and in front of their screen for 6 hours and just go through an entire training course that teaches them how to do a particular skill, whether it's traffic driving, list building. We realized that doing that in the age of Zoom and people being so open to jump on webinars and things like that, it worked out really well. And making it affordable for people, $20 a pop, we realized that it was really beneficial for them, and it was also beneficial for us because it forced me now in one day to create an entire product. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we leveraged that. We started dual purposing what we were doing, so charging admission for people to come and learn something, and then while we record that, we can sell that as a product as well. So we started doing that. What I've come to realize now, 13 years into this, we've already, as long as the internet exists, we will never have a problem making money again. You know, we have so many different income streams, and we've effectively, Melinda and I, removed the factor of money from the equation of our lives. And something happens when you get to that position in life. You really start looking like, well, what else can I do? How else can I help people? Because there's got to be more to it, you know. And we're looking for different ways to do that. I've become much more involved in my church, and we're helping our church actually is inspiring us to create a platform for churches to do online ministry. So the kind of skills that we have been using online for many, many years, you know, webinars and things like that, people at churches, they knew nothing about them really, you know. So we're looking to do some things there. Another thing in our own company, where we've been creating software to help people more quickly be able to create lead funnels, lead pages by removing the barriers. So we're working on a product called Convert Tools for a full launch. And Convert Tools is a platform where people will be able to pay a monthly fee. And they already have a library of products there, hundreds of products that Melinda and I have created. And they can use our products as their own to generate their leads, their lists, their funnels. And we're putting all of our tools that we've created for ourselves throughout the years into this one platform where you can log in and use them in your own business. So we're working on those kind of things and diversifying our company to adapt with the current internet that we're seeing today and the current challenges of the world and life and what's happening post-pandemic wise, as well as finding a way to really add a little bit more to the planet than what we were doing by just making money.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's amazing in itself. And Omar, you know, how can our listeners, our readers, how can they find out more about you? How can they contact you to find out more about the services that you offer?
That's pretty easy. The name of our company is Higher Level Strategies. So if you go to higherlevelstrategies.com, that's our main company site, and you can contact us there, and you can read some of our blog posts and things like that on there. But higherlevelstrategies.com is where you can connect with us.
And please send our thanks to Melinda as well, who's helped us organize this interview. Omar, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and your knowledge.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.